The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. From hot dogs to cool kitties, this is Dark Side of the Pooch.
Dr. Rab Sturm, the Rossbridge Animal Hospital, joins again for Dark Side of the Pooch. I'm your host. I'm keeping it in between the rails. Sometimes Dr. Rab gets off the rails just a little bit here. We got a lot of pet news to get into. Info at TonyCurryRadio.net. And, of course, you can hear the show at least 5 days a week right here on TKR, the Tony Curry Radio app, Tony Curry Radio on Android, TKR on Apple. Always brought to you by Ed's Pet World. I was down there three times last week. They've got it going on down there, from exotic pets, of course, to Seth's Toy Closet. It's fantastic. 879-1331. They've been down there in Homewood for nearly 50 years and proud sponsor Dark Side of the Pooch. Check out Ed's Pet World for all your exotic pet needs and your toys. And, of course, I'm meeting with Seth this week. He's got a brand new shop he's opening up. We'll have some more details on that as well. Dr. Rab joins us right now. Summertime in Alabama. It's fixing to get hot, brother. How are you?
Yeah, you're talking about the rails.
Yeah.
And I have a, you know, when I think about rails, I think about Ozzy going off the rails.
Yeah.
But this weekend, I saw a really great show in town. And it was Ryan Adams, not Brian, but Ryan Adams and the Cardinals. And he did a fantastic cover of another beloved Ozzy song. It's, I think it's actually Black Sabbath. But a really great version of War Pigs. I mean, it was so fantastic.
How about that, huh? Well, that's that's a question now from Tiffany out in your neck of the woods out there in Hoover. She said she knows. I know Dr. Rab loves fish. What other bands does he like to go see live?
Well, there you go. I mean, that's the most recent one, and that was just that was last weekend. So another band I've seen recently is the War on Drugs. They're really, really good. Like, kind of they're kind of indie band, but they play a lot of good rock and roll. It's a little bit ambient, but they're really great. So who else have I seen recently? You know, I've seen somebody else recently, but I can't put it together.
There must have been a great show.
Those are probably the three most recent shows I've seen. Fish, Ryan Adams and the Cardinals and the War on Drugs.
All right. Dark Side of the Pooch brought to you by, of course, Ed's Pet World. 208-0301 is their phone number. At Rossbridge Vet on Twitter, rossbridgevet.com. If you want to check them out on their website. And, of course, you can just go out there and drive out and see their wonderful facility every single week. Since it is summertime, what is your biggest pressing issue when it comes to being an owner of a wonderful vet shop or hospital out there in the Hoover area? Are there different things? Heartworms, does it prop up? Are there more flea issues? Do dogs suffer more heat exhaustion? Is there anything in particular that when it gets warmer you have bigger issues with?
It doesn't have, well, allergies, because dogs are outside more and they're being exposed to plants and, you know, pollen and things like that. So allergies are always big, you know, when the summer rolls around.
Okay. Very, very interesting. So we did a whole show on cats, several months ago, about things we didn't know about cats. And one of the things that I thought was really interesting is that people aren't really allergic to cat hair, but they're allergic to cat saliva. Explain that to me. And then I want you to spread the joy about what you told me last week about cats you did not know about.
So the main thing with dander is that it's not actually the fur, it's the saliva. And since cats put their saliva all over their body, so the saliva is what you're allergic to. So if you can kind of circumvent that with a food change, you'll be able to own a cat. So all those people that have wanted cats and they haven't been able to have them, well, now's your chance. And all those people that were lying about being allergic to cats, now you're about to get called out, because they're going to get a cat anyway in your house. Your husband, your wife, your kids, they've always wanted a cat. Now there's no excuse now. So you're in trouble.
There you go.
Now I had to think about it for a minute, but the thing that I told you a few days ago that I learned it from Twitter, and this guy, this Twitter handle, he's really scientific and he tweets a ton of stuff, and he had like images and video to back this up, and I had never heard it. And I've never thought about it, but if you watch cats, when they walk, they always put their back foot in basically the excess. And that is to limit their tracks so that they can't be hunted as easily. And I'd never noticed it. I never thought about it. And I watched all these videos of these cats, and I was like, holy crap.
All right, so
like, sure enough, there it was.
All right, so hold on. You cut out a little bit again. Tell me what's the step now? What exactly happens here?
Their back foot, when it moves forward, it lands in the exact same corresponding spot that their front foot was, just one step sooner.
Really? And that's so.
Yeah,
so they leave less tracks to be tracked.
They leave less tracks.
That's pretty amazing stuff right there.
And if you watch videos, you'll see it. And dogs don't do it. Because I've been watching my own dog. I've been watching dogs at the office. They don't do it. They're too clumsy and stupid. We love them. Okay. But they're too clumsy and they're too stupid. And that's why we love them. But yeah, it's an incredible, I guess, evolutionary thing.
See, you think about it, because I have never seen a cat walk through snow, but I would love to see that actually happen. I'd like to see, because if a cat is walking in snow, that means it would actually look like a two-legged cat.
Yeah, it's really incredible. And so the video that the guy put out there was a cat that was walking on sand. And so that's how you could demonstrate it. I mean, it was so cool.
That is crazy. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. We got some emails we're going to get into here. Dark Side of the Pooch, the Rossbridge Animal Hospital at Rossbridge Vet on Twitter, Rossbridge Vet, of course, .com on their website. He is Dr. Rab Stewart. He's the owner of the joint, and he does a fantastic job. 208-0301. And by the way, if you're planning on going on vacation this summer and you're looking for some boarding, they get great boarding there. But man, call them early because they load up. We have Tiffany here in Childersburg. She wants to know, how can I tell if my dog is fat or too skinny? And do I need to leave water out 24 hours a day in summertime?
The way that you tell if they're too skinny is if you can see their ribs. And if you have a dog with really long hair, then give it a bath and look at it when it's wet.
Mm-hmm.
Your dog is too fat if you cannot feel the ribs individually, like a washboard, and or they are just as wide in their abdomen as they are in their chest. So if either, you know, if you hit either one of those marks and they're too big. And then the last question was water. Should you leave water down all the time?
Yeah.
The answer is you don't have to. When you think about, like, with puppies, we tell people not to put water in their kennel with them, especially at nighttime.
Yeah.
Because they're going to drink water and they're going to pee, you know, in their kennel at night.
Sure.
So, you know, if you think about us, we don't drink at night. You know, we're asleep for, I don't know, depends on how much you sleep, but anywhere from 7 to 10 hours, you know, around there for most people. And we don't drink water and we're fine.
Yeah. And I learned this from you a couple of years ago, because we had four dogs and we had three and they were fine. Potty trained the whole nine yards. Then a fourth dog came into the mix and it just threw everything off kilter. And we had pee and poop all over the place. And then when I moved into this new place, I was like, we're going to get this right. And so I make sure that the minute I walk in the door, the dogs go outside every single time. When they wake up, they go outside. After they get done eating and drinking, they always go outside. Even if they don't go, I make them go outside and go. And I have not had one issue, but I have started picking up their water, because if they don't drink, they can't pee. Now, I'm not saying I dehydrate my animals. But yeah, if we obviously go on long walks or something like that, I make sure they drink a lot of water. Then I put them right outside again and make sure they go. So great question there from Tiffany. Bob in Sulphur Springs wants to, this is a great question. We've not had this question. Can dogs and cats transfer poison ivy to humans?
They can.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So they rub up against poison ivy and then they can rub up against you and you can get poison ivy.
If there's enough of the oil on their coats, and you know, it's happened recently, then if they've rubbed on it recently and rubbed on you, then yeah. But it's got to be, you know, I would imagine it's got to be a pretty decent amount of the oil, and it's got to happen within a, you know, a certain time frame. It's not going to happen if they walk through poison ivy, like, you know, yesterday.
So if, and I know dogs attract ticks, and obviously if you have flea and tick collars on, or they take some type of medication, Bravecto or something like that, they're probably safe. But if you've gone for a long walk through the woods with your animal, your dog, should you bathe it when it comes inside, or is it okay?
Dogs aren't really susceptible to it. I mean, I don't know if it's their fur or where it comes in contact with them, but I don't, I mean, me personally, if they are, you know, if they can get it, I've never seen a dog with it or a cat with it.
Okay.
So you can, I mean, you can bathe them when you get inside if you're concerned about them carrying the oil on them. But I, to my knowledge, I've never seen an outbreak on a pet.
All right, info@tonycurryradio.net. A little shorter version here, Dark Side of the Pooch, but we're going to power pack it here. He's Dr. Rab Stewart, the Rossbridge Animal Hospital, a show you can hear at least 5 days a week here on the TKR app. And of course, wherever you get your podcasts, we're available on every major industry, including Spotify. I've got a friend of mine who was bitten by a tick a couple of weeks ago, and she kind of freaked out and thought maybe she got Lyme disease. Well, she went to her doctor to get tested, and there weren't enough lines on the test to say definitively she had Lyme disease, but there were some lines that were prevalent, and so she was on this antibiotic for 30 days, and it's just totally kicking her ass, and she doesn't like it. Talk about what dogs and cats can get if, in fact, they can get bitten by ticks. And is Lyme disease exclusive to human beings or to animals? How does that work?
They can get a lot of tick-borne illnesses. And we, with the, you know, with the evolution of flea and tick products, it's something that is, it's not as common as it used to be, especially in the area where we are, because, you know, it's suburban. Most of the pets aren't running through the woods. Most people have fences in their yards and they're just not at great risk. All pets need to be on a flea and tick prevention though, just for this very reason, because if you, if a pet does get a tick on it, then, you know, the chances of it getting a tick-borne illness like Ehrlichia or Anaplasma or Rocky Mountain spotted fever or Lyme disease, you know, those obvious, those risks go up, you know, if they have a tick on them. I mean, and you're not going to get that stuff if you don't have ticks on you.
Okay.
So it is important for pets to be on that stuff. But it's not a, you know, it's not a slam dunk. If you get a tick on them, you know, they're going to get a tick-borne illness, but the chances of it, of course, go way up when you do.
All right. Have you ever seen Bluey?
Oh yeah, love that
Dude, I
show.
just found Bluey a couple of weeks ago and I absolutely love that show. I can't stop watching. It's fantastic. I
It is
love it.
so wholesome. It is
It's
so wholesome.
I know, right? And so I sit there and watch, like, we binge watch, me and my daughter watch Bluey all the time. So we're watching an episode the other night and the kids are going to see Grandpa, and the mother dog says, "Listen, we need to be careful with Grandpa because he's got heartworms." How often does Grandpa get heartworms? And of course the kids run up to see him and he's running and gunning. She's like, "You need to relax. You have heartworms. What are you doing running up?" And you're not allowed to canoe because Grandpa's got heartworms. My daughter was asking me the question, what exactly is heartworms to dogs? Why is it so important they relax? And can it be cured? Go ahead and answer that question for my daughter, please.
It is spread by mosquitoes. The worms, the larval stage of the worms live in the mosquito mouthparks. And so when a dog is bitten by the mosquito, they are infected with the larva, and then the larva kind of grow and change life stages as they migrate to the heart. Then they get to the heart, and they become adult worms. And the reason that they have that the dog has to kind of chill out when they have it is because the faster their heart beats, the more likely they could create a blood clot because the blood flows turbulently when those heartworms are in there. It doesn't flow smoothly, and so they're more likely to get a blood clot. They can leave their heart and then go to their lungs, and they would die. So that's why Grandpa on Bluey has to take it easy. And it can be cured. There's two ways to cure it. I mean, the American Heartworm Society and most veterinarians would strongly recommend what's called the fast kill. And without giving too long of an answer, it's a few injections that are given over the course of a couple of months, and it kills the heartworms. The other way to treat it is to give them a heartworm preventative every month, and that will keep the heartworms from reproducing, and it will keep them from basically making babies. And then the old worms will die of old age, but that can take months to years. And
Wow.
during that time frame, the dog is susceptible to secondary problems from the heartworms, like we just talked about with an embolism or something like that. So that's why it's not really recommended to do the slow kill method. But if it, you know, if it's cost prohibitive to do the fast kill, or a lot of shelters and or rescues may elect to just do the slow kill version, because I mean the fast kill does cost more money. You know, it's a kind of an expensive medication.
He's not
much cheaper.
Yeah,
it's much cheaper just to give the prevention. Just give the prevention every month, and then you don't have to worry about it.
Don't have to worry about it. Dr. Rab Stewart to the Rossbridge Animal Hospital. It's called Dark Side of the Pooch. You can hear the show at least 5 days a week here on the TKR app, Tony Curry Radio app. It's a free app. Check it out, or wherever you get your podcast. Just Google Tony Curry Radio podcast, and we're available everywhere. It's a great show. Info at TonyCurryRadio.net. Tiffany in Louisville. Since we're talking about diseases, she said, "Can Dr. Rab please explain what parvo is? How you get parvo? Is it transferable? And why isn't there a cure for it?"
Parvo is a virus that attacks the absorptive cells of the intestine. And it just basically makes it where the dog cannot absorb water or nutrients. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of diarrhea and a lot of vomiting that goes along with the disease. And so they end up dying from either an overwhelming infection and a depletion of their white blood cells. Okay. Or it's just they die of malnutrition and dehydration, yeah, basically. So just like all viruses, I shouldn't say all viruses, just like a lot of viruses, you just have to give supportive care and let it run its course. There is a new medication, and the antivirals are becoming a lot more common in veterinary medicine, and you know, I'm sure they are in human medicine too. But things that can kind of stop these viruses from attaching onto cells and things like that. So there's a drug company that recently put out a new treatment for parvo that's saying it's revolutionary, but it's very new. So I don't have any experience with it. But as far as the question, why isn't it curable? Well, this medication may change that. You know, yeah, we'll have to kind of wait and see. But for now, it is basically supportive care. You give them fluids, you give them stuff to keep them from vomiting, you give them antibiotics because, like I said, it depletes their white blood cell count. And so you have to give them antibiotics so they don't get secondary infections. And then you just, you got to try to get them to eat, or sometimes we'll put a tube down their nose and that goes into their stomach. Mm-hmm. And then you give them liquid nutrition that way. So a lot of dogs can live. It's not a death sentence. Some dogs can even, if they don't have it really bad, you can just do outpatient at home therapy and that can, sometimes cure them or get them through it. It just really depends on how bad they have it.
But then through their fecal matter and their excrements and stuff like that, other dogs can pick it up, correct?
Right. Either through the diarrhea, or through the vomit. It's the GI secretions that pass it from one dog to the other.
Okay. Final question here. Samantha in Amarillo, should I say? Or I said she's talking about armadillo, so I'm getting confused here. Amarillo. She wants to know, she's heard that you're not supposed to touch armadillos or turtles because you can get diseases from these animals. Is that true? I've heard that. Don't armadillos carry some type of really bad, but you have to lick your fingers or something like that, or need to wash your hands? But I've also heard that about turtles. Do you know anything about that?
So I've always heard that you can get leprosy.
Yeah, I've heard that too. Yeah.
And I don't know if it's true. And honestly, I don't, like, when I think of leprosy, I think of Old Testament, New Testament, biblical diseases that they like ostracized you and made you live in a cave, you know, for however long, you know, that's what I think about. So outside of that, I don't really know what leprosy is. So I've always heard that, but turtles and other reptiles with them, I've always heard salmonella.
Yeah.
You can pick up salmonella, especially from turtles.
Okay. I'm reading this real quickly. In the southern United States, some armadillos are naturally infected with a bacteria that cause Hansen's disease, which I guess is leprosy. And it may be possible that it can spread it to people. However, the risk is very low, and most people who come into contact with armadillos are unlikely to get Hansen's disease. So there you have it. Hansen's disease is leprosy. So there you have it. So now you know. And now you know that leprosy is called Hansen's disease. which I've never seen the Old Testament.
I thought that was what you got when you listened to Boom Bop too long.
Exactly. All right, brother. Tell people how people can find you, man. It's summertime.
Call us at 208-0301. You can email us, rossbridgeanimalhospital@gmail.com. Or you can find us on Facebook, although that's probably the least best way to get in touch with us. Either call us or email us and come on down.
Dark Side of the Pooch brought to you by Ed's Pet World, in business for nearly 50 years. Any exotic pet you want, armadillos. They probably don't have the chinchillas. They've got, the sugar gliders. They get all kinds of really cool pets. Check out Ed's Pet World. And, of course, they'll give you all the tools you need to keep your exotic pets super healthy and happy for a long period of time. And also Seth's Toy Closet. He's opening up a brand new store. He's got all kinds of unboxed stuff, classic watches, Battlestar Galactica, Star Wars stuff, Legos, you name it. He's got it down there at his toy chest. It's unbelievable. Check out Ed's Pet World. Thank you, Dr. Ab. I appreciate you. We'll talk next week.
See you then.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.